Welcome to Trish Radio. I was wondering when she was going to show up. She's always late. And welcome to Trish's True Crime Radio. First, everybody stand by to get gooed. Legally gooed, that is. Opinions expressed on Trish's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests, so please do remember that. Trish's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuths.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. In other words, my darling angels, if your mind is in a flutter and you're so angry at something that was said on the show, you don't take it out on the forums. You come to me, Trisha, Trisha's True Crime Radio, and we will make you happy. Well, he's back, and it didn't take very long before George Zimmerman was making headlines, and they were breaking in, and there were helicopters, and oh my gosh. When I first heard this Zimmerman story, it sounded like I thought somebody had been injured terribly or even killed, the way they were describing it. And now I'm stunned, because check me if I'm wrong. Don't all cops have the option of arresting a perp without anyone involved filing the charges? That's what I understand. Okay, so here's the deal. He went to his soon-to-be maybe ex-wife's house, and something happened, and the police were called, and then they went away. That's kind of how I look at it. But to listen to the media, George's wife's father, his nose was gushing. There were guns everywhere. And once again, I feel the mainstream media has let us down by not telling us the truth. Just tell us the truth. Granted, I think George Zimmerman was not smart to go there. And yeah, Nancy Grace used the term bulletproof. Maybe he does think he's untouchable. I don't know. But for God's sakes, just give us the truth and the facts. Tonight, to do just that, is our wonderful friend Cheryl McCollum, director of the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. You remember Cheryl, she was with me every night of the George Zimmerman trial, and there were trying times during those shows, but Cheryl stuck with it, and she is a great friend of the show. Also joining us, another great friend, Levi Page. Check out his blog at www.levipageshow.com. And VP from Renewsit.com, she's a George Zimmerman expert. Okay, let's see. I think this is VP right here. I want to make sure we've got her. She's spinning there. VP, is that you, my dear? VP, area code 713? Area code 713. Are you there? Earth to 713. Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. Perhaps VP hasn't learned how to operate a phone, but she's really smart everywhere else, I promise. No, I don't know if that's her, but we'll see. Okay, Cheryl, I want to go to
her.
You.
I love her. I think she's the best? I follow her on Twitter. She's very smart.
She's smart and funny and fabulous.
Yes.
So, okay, Cheryl McCollum, tell us what the media said happened and then what really happened today.
Well, like you said, I mean, the media acted like it was, you know, the SWAT team is showing up and helicopters are showing up and they've got, you know, emergency rescue and everybody else out there. Well, if you listen to the 911 call, Shelley is saying that her father needs medical treatment, but you can hear him say, no, I don't. And she says, yes, you do. And she said that George has got a gun and he's threatened everybody with a gun. She said that he brandished a knife and slit her iPad and then broke it into pieces. Well, then the police respond. George is sitting out in front of the house in his truck, chilling with a bodyguard.
Oh, my
gosh. Police say they get him out of the car. They pat him down. They can't find a gun anywhere. Now, I don't know what kind of bodyguard you got that doesn't have a gun, but they said they couldn't find a gun anywhere. And by the time they get done with George, you know, making sure for everybody's safety that there's not a gun interjected into this scene, apparently Shelley has already called her attorney before calling the police, by the way, and then George decides not to call the police at all. He called Amara. Both attorneys arrive at the scene, and then suddenly no charges are filed.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's where it gets even more a little, you know, hokey. Shelley already has a credibility issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're looking at somebody that's been, you know, convicted of perjury. So you're going to take what she says with a grain of salt anyway. And then you've got, of course, George. And if Shelley says she's afraid of him, well, George has already killed somebody that was unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
So you do know what George is capable of. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be one of those things. The hits are just going to keep coming with these people. And I truly do believe that George thinks he's bulletproof because he got away with killing a human being. And then this may seem ridiculous, but in the mind of George Zimmerman, he doesn't get a speeding ticket. And then he gets one, but the officer is like real polite and all that kind of stuff. So, again, look what's happening. He is bulletproof. He's untouchable. So when he rides up to the house and he wants his stuff or he doesn't want Shelly to get her stuff, does he flee the scene? No. He stays right there in that car, almost daring them to come.
Mm-hmm. He knows. I think this was a calculated move on his part. Levi Page, your thoughts on this? Really, when I first heard it, Levi, I thought somebody had been shot. The way they were talking, they were so excited. I swear I could see the spit just flying out of their mouths through the radio. It was they were just rabid talking about this. And then I find out, I'm like, big deal. We have more excitement on a Saturday night here in my little hick town than what George Zimmerman did today. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that this all goes to the trouble that Shelley Zimmerman got into whenever she lied under oath. She committed perjury. She pled guilty to that August 28th. She pled guilty to a misdemeanor of lying under oath because if she would have been found guilty of the felony perjury, she wouldn't have been able to got her nursing license, which she's been studying for a long time. But this all goes back to that because she lied under oath during that bond hearing. Shelley Zimmerman told the judge that she and George had no money, and she lied. They did have money. They had gotten in over $130,000 in donations from various supporters across the country. She lied under oath. She felt that she was doing this for George Zimmerman. And, you know, they were busted basically by authorities because they were taping, like they do every inmate's, telephone conversations. And according to prosecutors, they were speaking in code. They were really working in cahoots. It wasn't all Shelley. George was doing it too. They were speaking in code, and he was instructing her on how to break down the donations that they were receiving, put it into different accounts so they wouldn't have to report it to the IRS. She pled guilty to this. She support him in court. She was there during the guilty verdict. In her mind, she did all of it for George, and she didn't think she was being appreciated. She was being appreciated by him. He did not appreciate her during her perjury charges. She was facing her legal problem, so she's mad, and that would maybe be the motive for her to exaggerate him coming to her home. She's filed for a divorce now, and Cheryl knows this, that whenever people are getting a divorce and they're fighting, very difficult to us.
Hey, Levi,
during
Levi,
these type of situations.
Hey, Levi, I think you need to stand on your roof with a lightning rod to get a better signal. You were doing real great, and then it started kind of weaving in and out there. So can you run up another 12 flight of stairs and get to the roof, and maybe it'll change a little bit. But I love what you're saying. It's absolutely the truth. When people are divorcing, things can get very volatile. Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is VP from RenewsIt.com. VP, RenewsIt.com, are you there? Area code 713.
Yes, I am.
Okay, there you go. Okay, VP, you are, a lot of people love and adore you, and you're smart, you're funny, and you take on challenges that nobody else will because you do not like to see people being wronged. It's not that you're, and I'm putting words in your mouth, you're not a fan of George Zimmerman. You're not his, you know, best bud or anything, but you saw from the very beginning what I didn't see and a lot of people didn't see, and that was George Zimmerman basically being railroaded to some extent. I mean, I still hold him responsible for what he did, and it still bothers me that there was nothing, he didn't serve any time, but that's just my opinion. Tell us, we were talking a little bit about before the show about this. Tell us your opinion on what you were hearing on the news, and then what was the reality?
What we were hearing on the news, at first it was the that Shelley Zimmerman had called in, a 911 call that George was attacking her father, had basically threatened her by putting his hand on his gun, on his holster. And then they, what was really strange, the 911 call came out about an hour after it broke on the news, which I find strange, but okay. And in the 911 call, that's basically what she said, that he was threatening her and then punched her father in the nose. She saw his glasses on the floor. They were inside the house, and he was in the truck. And I don't know if you listened to the 911 call or Levi or Cheryl. At the end, she's saying, oh, my God, there's a woman in the car. Her and her father are both going, oh, my God, there's a woman in the car. Did y'all hear that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I know people have been trying to find out who this mystery woman is.
Well,
yes.
It's Veronica. I think her last name is Zahal, maybe. That's his ex-girlfriend, the one that had filed domestic charges.
Oh.
Yeah. And apparently he's having – go ahead.
No, you go. I want you to – I just say, why was she there? But go ahead.
Well, apparently they're seeing each other again.
Mm-hmm.
But this you'll find interesting. You've heard the saying, when it rains, it pours, Murphy's
yes.
Law. Well, okay, George Zimmerman in 2005, he had the domestic violence, he had the the undercover thing happened, and he lost his business. This was all in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So now in 2013, he's got, you know, Trayvon, the tickets, and this. So hopefully that's it. But basically when the police information officer called in, and if you were listening to Nancy Grace, he said there was no gun found.
Right.
There were no signs of anything on the father that he had been hit or whatever. And what I find odd about that is Shelley Zimmerman was saying he needed to go to the hospital during the 911 call. So, I mean, I think she was being histrionic. I think she was, this whole week has been her, she's been pissed off talking about him on the different news shows, interviews, calling him. Saying he was selfish, self-centered. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like sour grapes to me, and I think today was just more of it. For him to smash her iPad, I think maybe there was something on there, or she was saying something about something on there, maybe found some emails or whatever. But they didn't say anything about finding the iPad, so I don't know.
Let's go to my official, unofficial co-host, and that is Michael in Minnesota. Michael in Minnesota, give us your thoughts on all of this. You were with us during the whole time, the Zimmerman trial. You were with every show. What are your thoughts on the events of today?
Well, I can't quite believe it. I can't say I was glued to Nancy Grace because I was actually more glued to the U.S. Open tennis tournament. But I was able to keep up on Google searches with everything coming out. And I echo essentially what Vicki has just explained. It seems like much ado about nothing and sour grapes. And I'm mortified at how, first of all, I can't understand a couple that has been through what the Zimmermans have been through the whole Trayvon and everything. It's just painful for me to watch a relationship disintegrate like this one obviously has. And I can't fathom it because when you, for better or for worse, I it's not something I'm even able, in my mind, coming from where I've been with my Nance, to even comprehend letting something like this tear asunder the relationship. So it's really quite sad. At a time when they should be uniting and healing wounds and supporting each other, that they've fallen into this vitriol is quite sad, and I just can't understand it. But like Vicki was saying, everything that Shelley was claiming in the 911 call was disproved by the cops on the scene, as far as nothing on the father being visible, no gun found on George Zimmerman. So it does seem like a much ado about nothing. And
absolutely.
It's mortifying.
It is, Michael, and I agree with you 100%. Cheryl McCollum, two things here that I want to bring up, and I'd like you to comment on them. First of all, doesn't Shelley know that she's going to be found, the lies are going to be found out. I mean, is she so wrapped up in the moment? This is a rhetorical question. But, I mean, it's like he doesn't have a gun. He didn't do any of those things. We're going to find out. It's a big news story. Secondly, what the hell was George doing there anyway? It's almost like he wants to go in and just stick a stick into the cage or put his fist into a hornet's nest. So two separate things there.
We've been told two different stories. And one, I mean, if they find out this was a completely fabricated 911 call, she can be charged for that. But, again, she says on the 911 call that she believes her father's having a heart attack, but she called her attorney first. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a little difficult to believe. So her attorney's given her advice about the time O'Mara rolls up. That's why this was handled so quickly, because here we have both attorneys. People are not talking now. You know, it's all good. George never did call 911. He only called O'Mara. It's a mess, and this is their life. They now know I'm going to call my attorney first, no matter what it is, if I'm getting pulled over, if I'm fighting with Shelley. But we've also been told two different things about the house situation. First, we're told George goes over to Shelley's. And then we're told, no, that's George's house that Shelley has moved out of when she filed for divorce, and that she went back with her father to get some items. When she did that is when George supposedly tried to shut the garage door. When he was unable to do that, he went and sat for his car and waited for O'Mara. So either way, here's what we have again. George is involved with something. And he doesn't flee. He doesn't leave. He sat right there, big as Dallas today, just like he did before. And then one other report was a bodyguard was with him. So, I mean, y'all, here's the deal. Trisha, we talked about it on your show, and I said the same thing about OJ. I said the same thing about Casey Anthony, and I'm going to keep telling you about George Zimmerman. The hits are going to keep coming. These are not stable people. So they're not going away. George's past is a good indicator of his future. Just like the rest of these people, it's a train wreck. We know he had some, you know, mental issues where maybe there was some medication. We know he's been through anger management. We know he's had a run-in with police. We know he's had a past domestic violence. We know that he was involved in the taking of a life of another person. And the trauma that puts on somebody, the stress that puts on somebody, and now he's going through this divorce. That house is beautiful. That truck is beautiful. They ain't having money problems. They're fine. So it's going to come down now. You've got two people trying to split what assets they have accumulated. It's going to continue to be ugly, period.
That is absolutely the truth. Yes, VP from RenewsIt.com, please comment.
Okay, the house belongs to Shelley's father and mother, and they were staying in that house. Remember when Shelley said we were staying in a 30-foot trailer in the woods?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, remember that? Okay, they were staying in that house. She was supposed to have the rest of her stuff out by Saturday, and she didn't. She came back today for whatever reason, said she had left some stuff. I saw the trailer, and it didn't look like little odds and ends they were trying to pack into the truck. So some say he was still living there, that she was getting her stuff out and then they're going to get it ready to rent out. I haven't heard that he just pulled up on it. I think he – and to say that – I have to take issue with saying, well, he stayed there biggest day on the night that he shot Trayvon and he stayed there today. I think it would have been much worse had he left either time.
No. Please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. What I meant was he stayed on the phone with 911 all that time. But after the shooting, he didn't call them back. Just like today, he didn't feel the need to call 911 at all, but he's already come out and said that Shelley was the, quote, aggressor. But he wasn't calling 911. That's all I meant. Was he standing there like, yeah, I shot that guy, and he's talking to a neighbor saying, I shot the guy. But he never called 911 back and said, I need help.
Well, somebody else called for him that night.
But I think, to me, George Zimmerman staying there shows that he's not afraid. And he wants to
that's
stay there
point.
And tell his side of the story. Yeah, I know that's what you're
right.
trying to
say. Can
he
I say something?
There. And this is Levi Page. Levi Page, jump right in.
Well, listen, you know, I think that it's kind of ridiculous that George Zimmerman would go there with his ex-girlfriend that he's had problems with. He knows that that's going to start a reaction. So that's not the smartest move to make. To do that, and he knows that something is going to happen there. And Shelley Zimmerman obviously has it out for him. She's mm-hmm. pissed off at him. She feels that he was not supporting her, and this whole thing is ridiculous. And they're not behaving like adults at all. They're behaving like brats. And somebody really needs to set the both of them down and say, "Look, you're acting stupid. Don't bring your ex-girlfriend over there with you when you're going to be near her, because that's going to set her off, and she needs to stop doing these things that create media attention and a media firestorm and exaggerate what happens." I think both of them are at fault for creating this drama.
And I think both of them might like the drama a little bit. It seems like...
If he is with what Vicky is saying, the woman that he's had legal problems with before, what are you doing? I mean, if somebody had, if I'd been in a domestic incident with someone, I'm not going to go back to them. I mean, that's
well,
a little ridiculous.
Remember, Levi, they
there
took
as well.
Restraining orders out on each other. So, again, it's volatile.
They're
everything
obviously not meant to be together
volatile.
If they're taking out restraining orders out on each other.
Right.
Well, I think here's what's going to happen. I want to run down the guest list here because we have a great, you guys were great. Last minute, y'all called in. Thank you so much. We have Cheryl McCollum with us tonight, the director of the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, along with Levi Page. His blog is www.levipageshow.com, VP from RenewsIt.com, and my wonderful unofficial official co-host, Michael in Minnesota. I think this is going to happen probably every single time they try and do something. And I think it's up to the media to be more responsible and just leave them alone and don't give them the fire. Don't give this oxygen to this fire that they're creating. I don't know who wants it more or who really is setting it up. I don't know. It just seems like, again, to me, both of them. I would have to say Shelley was probably the instigator in all of this today. It still kills me that she said he had a gun and he bloodied my father-in-law's nose. Does she not get? VP, I want to talk to you about this because maybe you have a little more insight than I do on this situation. Does Shelley not understand that what she says is going to be looked under a microscope? Is she that way? What are your thoughts? You've done a little research into this. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what I think, and this is going by... I'm not trying to cast aspersions on her family, but her dad had some big-time trouble with the law. And when they were moving the money around, I think Levi was the one talking about the tax purposes. What is it, Levi? You can have like 999.
9,000.
Yeah, I don't know the exact amount.
Yeah, $9,000 before you had to report it.
Okay, well, the person who apparently was advising her on that was her father. Her mother doesn't have the best whatever. And it doesn't really matter. I'm just saying the advice that she may be getting on all of this could be from her parents. You know, because so far they've given her bad advice. But I just want to say we've all been through relationship breakups. Probably all of us have had someone to move out of our house or we've moved out of someone's house. I think we're trying to put more on even these two people, even as much as I dislike Shelley right now, if you hear someone's back at the house where they were supposed to have gotten all their stuff out, you still have stuff there, I think it would take a really big person not to go check it out, you know, just to see maybe she's taking something she shouldn't. You know, I think that's putting a lot on it. Her lying like she's, I don't know. I don't know anything about Shelley. I never really researched her because she wasn't really... you know, in the news that much. But, I mean, I think they're being a normal couple that are being divorced. I think they both probably have PTSD from this whole, I mean, imagine, the whole world hates you. They hate your husband. Ugh. They want to kill you. You know, that really kind of kicks me off that they made such a huge deal. The first thing I heard was because they had arrested George because he had made threats. His life has been threatened thousands of times a day almost for the last 16 months, and you never hear about it. You know, no one's
right.
ever reprimanded her. So they've been through this, and it has to be the aftermath is incredible for them. So,
do you think that Shelley likes the media spotlight? Because she has been giving interviews, and you know that she's getting some money from these interviews. I mean, and now another interview she's going to tell, this could maybe spice things up a bit, make it a better story. Now, who's going to get the exclusive interview with Shelley Zimmerman again? Is she going to be flown up to New York City, put in a swanky hotel, and paid, you know, $5,000? I mean, this could be a motive for doing this, because you know these media outlets, especially the morning shows, pay to get these big controversial figures on their shows.
Yeah, I think she's really going to be ticked off now, because I think the person they're going to want to interview is his ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
I agree completely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, from anybody listening to it, it sounds like Shelley set him up.
I said that today on my Twitter. I said, you don't put two exes together. Holy cow.
Yeah.
No. And that's what I'm saying. So once again, George is the victim. So she's done herself a disservice going into divorce court.
I got to say, a dumb victim. I mean, he's set himself up if he's a victim. And I mean, I have to agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm. Just don't go there. I mean, just stay away. Get someone to go in there for you.
Don't bring your girlfriend with you. That's
but
how you go.
Right.
Y'all, people that break up, they want to show, hey, I'm not going to be alone. If you left me and you publicly went and filed for divorce, look at me. I'm okay. You know, people hurt each other. That's not something we're all unfamiliar with. Come on. Of course you want to show up with somebody. Of course you do. And you want to look fantastic when you do it. And in my thing right now, the credibility issue lies with Shelley. For all that George Zimmerman did, he told the truth.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And the other issue, Shelley didn't. And what did she lie about? She lied about money. What'd she lie about today? Her father having a heart attack? She lied about George Patton, a gun, telling her, come closer, come closer.
Yeah,
it can happen.
Yeah.
So here's what she's effectively done. A guy that has got a domestic violence past, you've just put him in the best possible situation. Because you have now cried wolf. So when he comes and kicks in your door and slaps you around, I'm not going to believe it.
And nobody would.
So
I don't think George would be that dumb, but you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
It's okay. You know what I'm saying? It might happen. And that's what I'm saying. This is just the hits that keep on coming, because George Zimmerman is not going to go away.
Okay, on his ex-girlfriend, he didn't hit her. He threw her on a bed. She even said that. Nancy Gray said tonight.
I was just giving an example. If he slapped Shelley around, we're not going to believe it. Because
what
is she going to tell 911? Oh, Lord, George is here slapping me. I'll be like, whatever, click.
Yeah.
Let's go to Michael in Minnesota. He's been pretty quiet. Are you bubbling over, Michael, or are you just sitting back and listening?
Well, a little bit of both.
I love
listening to Cheryl and Vicky and Levi.
I do, too.
I'm doing just fine, yeah.
Okay.
But I agree. As far as the media seeking out Shelley, it seems like I think she's becoming a known liar at this point. At least that is my perception of her. And so I really wouldn't trust almost anything that came out of her mouth at this point. So I can't imagine anyone really seeking her out for interviews. That's my two cents on that. And
I
as far as, and Cheryl was saying, we can all imagine trying to hurt people. Again, I mean, after what they've been through, it just, I have never gone that direction, I can truthfully say, and I cannot possibly fathom it. So it's so foreign to any way I've ever behaved or thunk.
Right, thunk.
Well, I agree with you, and I don't, I agree with you completely, and I don't want to, you know, disagree with Vicky, but, you know, Vicky, nobody's ever left me, sugar. So listen, I have been with my husband since 1979. But listen,
cool.
The point is, we've all seen it. And we've seen friends and other family members go through it where two people that really loved each other, when there is a lot of stress, for example, we've all seen it when somebody's lost a baby. That marriage is almost doomed because there's so much pain. So I agree with Vicki and blame that here you have, and I think she said it perfectly, I think they did have PTSD. Shelly gets a call, your husband's been involved with a shooting. That's the first thing out of somebody's mouth. Then she finds out, no, it was somebody he shot. Then she finds out it was a young person. Then she finds out everybody wants, you know, is mad at him and wants to kill both of them. I mean, it's, come on, y'all. That had to be the worst time. And Vicki, didn't they live apart through a lot of the trial?
Shelly and George? No.
Yeah. She stayed a lot with her parents or something during the trial.
Oh, well, she may have, but I don't think they were separated at all. I mean, as far
No, not legally separated, just weren't under the same roof for whatever reason.
Well, listen to her, they were in a 30-foot trailer in the woods for most of the time, which is not
true.
Yeah,
right.
Let's talk a little bit about the media. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Who jumped in there?
No, that's
okay. Nobody?
Okay,
let's talk a little bit about the media today. When I was in my truck, I have a truck, and I was listening to the satellite radio, again, I thought that there had to be a murder, there was blood, there was ambulance, there were helicopters. I think that it's very irresponsible of any media outlet to behave this way. And Cheryl, you're on Nancy Grace, and I know you love Nancy, and I'm not going to say anything negative about Nancy. I just think that... Oh, well, okay. I just think that I'm so glad you're on Nancy Grace, Cheryl McCollum, because you stick to the facts. And Nancy's not the only one, but, I mean, to hear her tell it, George basically almost got away with murder again. And I just think that's absolutely irresponsible. And Vicki, our VP from Renews It, you can speak to that because you saw that immediately when the George Zimmerman case first happened, when Trayvon Martin was first shot. You were one of the few voices out there saying, hey, this is not what it seems. You saw the media frenzy and the media mob that basically attacked him and attacked you. We could do a whole show on that as well. Your thoughts, VP?
Yeah, you remember, well, of course you do, the JonBenet Ramsey case and how we heard about Mark Carr. You remember that feeling when you heard Mark Carr was the killer of JonBenet and it goes through your mind? No, it's not, because we know it's not, right?
Right.
I mean, we knew it wasn't Mark Carr. It's kind of that way with George Zimmerman is not an angel. He's not perfect. But you kind of, after getting so close to a case, and like we knew John and Patsy the way we knew them, you kind of know what a person wouldn't do. Well, I just didn't see George going to the house and brandishing his gun, punching, because he knows everybody's watching him. He knows there will be a call. You know, he knows the police will come. He's just not that stupid or careless. So anyway, so today, Jane Velez Mitchell and I think it was Ryan Smith from HLN were talking or starting to compare it to when he shot Trayvon. Oh, yeah, it's like when he shot Trayvon. He lost his temper, and I'm not trying to compare it, but I'm just saying. And, you know, they went on and on about it. Jane Velez, her head looked like it was going to explode. She was so excited to have this news. And then, I don't know if Levi and Michael or Cheryl were watching HLN at the time, but all of a sudden they just stopped, like, stopped and moved on to this other case they're following. I don't watch HLN anymore. I think it's Matthew, somebody. And I think that's when the police probably said there was no gun or they couldn't find it. So HLN just come back and say that. They didn't say there was no gun. They just stopped.
Michael, what were you going to say?
Yeah, that or it was probably at the same time where the it was being reported that Shelley was not going to pursue charges and the police couldn't verify any of the charges. But a responsible reporter would say, you know what, we are getting word that we got it all wrong, all these histrionics we must apologize for. It appears that the call was false. But you never hear that out of these people's mouths.
Never.
And why not?
Never.
I just don't understand it.
Levi Page, jump in with your thoughts, please, because I know you've got lots of them.
Yeah, well I just want to go to Vicki. I mean, you mentioned earlier about the iPad that was broken, and I've been reading Twitter and social media and people's theories about what if it was broken, that has not been confirmed. But a lot of people have been speculating, saying that they think that Shelley Zimmerman was recording George Zimmerman. And in the state of Florida, actually, Florida is one of the few states that, you know, that's illegal to record someone. You have to have both people's permission. So do you think that she was doing something like that, recording him, and that's what made all of this blow up?
No, I think that, and I could almost bet money that that's speculation from people that are against George, because they're trying to implicate that he was saying something. He was probably yelling at her, or calling her, or going nuts, and, you know, saying, "I killed Trayvon, I murdered Trayvon, I'm confessing." You know, I mean, that's just something they would think. But really, if she was recording him, so what? I mean, I don't think he would be there. Her father was there. I mean, what would, you know, was he angry? She was going to record him angry? I don't know.
Exactly.
After she was recording it, so he wasn't angry before. You know what I mean?
She could have just made it all up, because remember she said that he punched her father and...
Wait, Levi, you just dropped your phone in your shoe. What happened? You just disappeared. So it sounded like he was floating underwater. And
Trisha,
now
I
can hear him
now. For somebody.
Okay, Michael, yes, Michael in Minnesota.
So to what Levi is talking about, I've in all the reading I've done, I haven't seen any verification about this iPad. Does Cheryl or Vicky or Levi know if a broken...
No, they haven't said. They haven't said anything about this iPad. But we also do know that Shelley Zimmerman lied, because remember she said that George punched her father. He punched her father, yet law enforcement said in the press conference nobody had any injuries that indicated that there was a physical fight.
Right.
So, well, so apparently Shelley Zimmerman has a lot of credibility problems.
A major credibility problem.
To say the least, I mean, that's putting perfume on a pig.
Boy, that is, Levi. Listen, I appreciate you all making time tonight for our show, because this was a big story that turned into a non-story, which was a story in itself. And we're going to go around once more, give everybody their final word. And let's start with Michael in Minnesota. Let's hear from you. Final thoughts, please.
My final thought is what everyone has been saying all along, much ado about nothing. I don't believe there was anything to this 911 call. I'm anxious to hear really who, if we can verify that the person in the truck with George was in fact the old girlfriend. I don't know. Poor George and Shelley. I wish they'd just kind of go away.
I know. They, for their own sake, they should go away. Thank you, Michael. And Levi Page, final thoughts. Are you going to be putting this on your LeviPageShow.com website?
Yes. Yes, I will. And, I just want to say people have said that George Zimmerman should lay low, and apparently he's not laying low that we've all seen and should not cause a stir. But he should take a page out of Casey Anthony's book. We have very rarely have we heard from her. We had like two videos that were released that someone may have hacked or someone in her camp put out, and she's been spotted at a restaurant. She has literally went off the face of the earth. You do not hear from Casey Anthony anymore. So maybe George Zimmerman needs to take a page out of her book and just lay low, stop, stay away from George Zimmerman. If you have all of these donations and money still, I don't know if they're still getting them, what their financial status is, you can hire someone to go and do this for you.
Yeah.
You have a security guard. Get him to do it for you. Don't do it yourself if these sort of situations are going to break out.
Exactly. And I bet there's people that would absolutely love to volunteer to help George. So they don't need to be doing this to each other. That's right, Levi. Levi Page and the LeviPageShow.com, thank you. VP from RenewsIt.com, your final thoughts.
Okay, number one, I haven't had a bunch of move-ins and move-outs. Boy, I just want to clear that up. Family is what I'm talking
about. Okay, gotcha. We know.
And then the other thing is, I kind of wonder if Shelley didn't see this girl, and that's what started it. you know,
there
because
you go.
She acted a little surprised at the end, but that could have just been for dramatic effect with her and her father. So I kind of thought maybe that was, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think saying that they should go in hiding, I do agree that, you know, he should lay low, but he lives at the house, you know, he drives his truck, the two things that he's been, and then we forget that he also helped a couple that their car turned over in their family. You know, nobody ever mentions that except to say he set that up. But I don't know. I mean, it has to be hard for both of them. For what they've gone through this past year was horrific. You know, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think we're going to be doing these shows off and on for quite a while. And Cheryl McCollum, thank you. That's EP from RenewsIt.com, RenewsIt.com. And let's go finally to Cheryl. I think Cheryl hung up. Cheryl, are you there? Oh, my gosh, she hung up. I was going to go for her. I saved her for the last word, and she hung up. Well, I think Cheryl would say, I agree. And Cheryl is the director of the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. We love her, and she is amazing. Everybody, thank you so much. We'll have you on again, I'm sure, real soon. I bet there's going to be another incident with George Zimmerman in our futures. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Wow. It was a quick show that we put together, and everybody came through. So basically, it was Much Ado About Nothing, and the nothing became a much ado. Does that make any sense? Probably not. Opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. And do remember this, my friends. If you hear something on my show that upsets you, don't blame the forums, because remember, we're a separate entity from websleuth.com, LLC, and forumsforjustice.org. You come to me, and I will make you happy once again. This Sunday, we'll have body language expert, world-renowned body language expert, Dr. Lillian Glass. She has a new book coming out. We're going to be talking about cases in the news, and she's going to let us in on everything she knows about how you can read people's body language, and you can tell how people are lying. Yeah, that's this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.